Let's pray together. Father in heaven, thank you for our church. Thank you for your love toward us. Father, we pray today that we would be exposed to your greatness, your truthfulness through your word, and we would find in ourselves the longing that's built inside of us to look to you, to submit to you, to believe in you. Father, as we look at Luke chapter 2, we will see three different people or sets of people doing this. May we be set toward you. May we have lives that are toward you. We ask for this today, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you have a Bible, turn to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, we're moving right along. We're not finished with the infancy passages yet, but we're getting there. Luke chapter 2, we'll be looking at Jesus being presented at the temple. Life really begins to click. Life really begins to make sense when you come to the realization that life is about God. It's not about anything else. Life is about God. And as far as you understand that every single little thing has to do with Him and is for Him and functions through Him, then the more successful you are in life, the more you exhibit an understanding of that, the more you put the priorities in the right place, the more you have peace and joy that comes from God. Life only makes sense through God. And yet, perhaps you know this, because there's been a time in your life where it has finally clicked that life's not about you, it's about God. Perhaps you know people who it hasn't clicked yet. Perhaps you're here today and it just quite hasn't clicked yet. And it's interesting that I'm speaking of it this way because it's not a clicking. It's a work of God. It's a conviction of sin and a Holy Spirit work and a turning, a making of a new heart inside of a believer that makes it click. It's not up for you to make it click. It's God who makes it click inside of you, in which we respond to Him with faith and repentance, and we believe and we get saved. In a similar way to this clicking, this finally realizing that life's about God, there's a time when we realize that we got to grow up. If you're a parent in here today with kids that are, I'd say, anywhere in the range from 16 to 30, you know what I'm talking about. There comes a time when we just have to grow up. Have to realize that money has to be spent in certain ways, and you got to take care of yourself, and you got to pay bills, and you got to be responsible, and you got to manage your time wisely, and you can't always play, and you got to grow up. I used to laugh when I was in college, probably about 20 years old or something, and I would have borrowed some money from my dad to do something, I don't know, to go on a vacation or something like that, a road trip. And then I would work to pay him back. I'd say, "Dad, you know, I'm going to pay you back. And then it would come to something like a birthday. And so my parents would give me a birthday card that would maybe have a little bit of money in it. And I would laugh because here I am bringing them a $20 bill saying, "Hey, I'm paying you back." And then my birthday card might have a $50 bill in it or something like that. And I find myself thinking, "Yeah, I'm growing up, Dad. I'm paying you back. Here's 20. He gives me 50 back." And it dawns on me that he's a little bit more mature and got life figured out a little bit better than me. He wasn't necessarily looking to see if I would pay him all the way back. This really, really happened to me. Kind of just realizing some things about life as I was going to start college. And I remember being 18 when my parents dropped me off at college. And I had written this, and I'm not a skilled writer by any means, so don't laugh too much. But as my parents were going to drop me off at college, I wanted to somehow let them know that it was dawning upon me how much I owed to them. I don't know if I had realized it until then. I was 18. It was August the 15th of 1998 when I wrote this. This is old paper. I'm getting old. But as my parents dropped me off and went to leave to drive back home, I handed them this. I'm just going to read the beginning and I'm just going to read the end. It says, Mom, Mom, will you please come scratch my back? No, Dad, no, not another tickle attack. Will one of you sit and help me study for this test? You need to eat that, son. It'll put hair on your chest. Mom, Dad, I'm going to play ball at the park. Whatever, son, just be in before dark. Can y'all remember going through these stages? Oh, how I have grown and my life has seen many pages. At 18, realizing that life is changing majorly, I was realizing that I needed to get myself together. It ends like this. I'm skipping a bunch of cheesy stuff. But now I've grown up. It's time for me to change. Saying goodbye and leaving, oh how it feels so strange. I appreciate it all from the presents to the spanks. Y'all have done so much for me. Have I told you enough thanks? Writing this, I cried with many tears of joy, thinking of the memories of a blonde-headed little boy. My childhood is over, and this is awfully sad. I love you with all my heart, Ginger, Mom, and Dad. And I remember being 18 and thinking, my parents have been so good to me. My parents love me. My parents have taken care of me, and they've taught me, and they've disciplined me, and they've gotten on me. And at times when I wanted to do things, they said no and grounded me. And I had to stay in the house for 2 weeks at a time. And if I was really bad, they would give me a spanking, or as I call it with our children, a whooping. And they taught me how to do different things. And I remember at that point in my life, kind of all of that coming to fruition and thinking, right now I'm 18 and the world might say I'm becoming a man, but I owe everything to them. Everything. Greater than that, the Bible teaches us that the human heart is to be like that that I wrote, but even so much more toward God. God, I'm nothing without you. I didn't wake up today unless you woke me up. I'm not living, I'm not smiling, I'm not looking, I'm not interacting, I'm not relating with people, God, if it were not for you. God, I owe it all to you. Everything is from you, God. In you we live and move and have our being, God. All things are from you and through you and by you and for you, God. My life is to be for you. You have done so much for me. And the psalmist picked this up. You're familiar with the Psalms and you know that the Bible is full of people saying, God is owed to you. Psalm 126, the Lord has done great things for us. And we are glad. Psalm 28, blessed be the Lord, for He has heard the voice of my pleas for mercy. Psalm 103, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. And the heart of the child of God, the true believer, the true follower of Christ, is one that says, God, it's owed to you. And any moment, any thought, any day of my life, that is not blessing you because of all that you are toward me, for all that you've done for me, is wrong, is backward, it's not making sense. Life is to be lived through God. Well, in Luke chapter 2, verses 22 through 38, we see Jesus being presented at the temple. But I want to show you from three different people an understanding that life is to be spent blessing God for the way He is toward us. God loves us. God is in favor of us. God is working for us. And our response to that is a continual and always awareness of faith, a walking of God. Bless you. You are the one that's great. You are the one that's deserving. God, I want my life to be for you. Without you, I am nothing. I need you. Bless the Lord should be the cry, continual cry of any child of God. I want us to see 3 points that the parents bless the Lord, that Simeon blesses the Lord, and that Anna blesses the Lord. The parents of Jesus, Joseph and Mary, bless the Lord. Simeon blesses the Lord, a prophet, and Anna, a prophetess, blesses the Lord. Let's read Luke chapter 2, beginning in verse 22. And when the time came for their purification, according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who first opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. And his father and his mother marveled at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed, and a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. And there was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived with her husband 7 years from when she was a virgin, and then as a widow until she was 84. She did not depart from the temple, worshiping with fasting and prayer night and day. And coming up at that very hour, she began to give thanks to God and to speak of Him to all who were waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. Interesting passage, long passage, deep passage, thorough passage, a lot of different things going on here. But I want you to see, as it is in the bulletin, that life is to be a blessing of God, that you are to bless God for all that He has done to you. And in this passage, we see three different people, or three different sets of people, the first being Joseph and Mary, the parents, blessing the Lord for His grace toward them. The first point I want us to see, the parents bless the Lord because He has been gracious to them. He has given them a child. The parents, Joseph and Mary, bless the Lord because He has been gracious to them. He has given them a child. Verses 22 through 24. When the time came for their purification, according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who first opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Remember Joseph and Mary? Remember the ones who were only betrothed, they weren't married yet. Remember the ones that had not been together? Remember the ones that were dealing with lots of tension or stress, albeit from the Lord? A little bit of hardship. They were going to get divorced. An angel comes to Joseph and says, no need to do that. Him being a just man wanted to do it properly, but no. The angel changes his mind. They get married. He knew her not until the baby was born. As awesome as that is, they need to be registered. They travel up to Bethlehem to be registered. They're on a donkey. There's no room for them in the inn. He's born in something like a stable. Jesus is laid in a manger. The difficulty surrounding all of this, this is Joseph and Mary. And yet they knew there was something special going on about this child, for he was born of a virgin. They weren't completely aware of who he was, that he was completely to be the Redeemer. Now they have heard that, they had been told that, there had been prophecies told and hymns already displayed in Luke chapter 1 speaking of this. The angel told him that he will be great, he will be the Son of the Most High. But they didn't fully know all that Jesus was, and so that helps a little bit with them seeing their obedience now. I want to point out the obedience of Joseph and Mary, and I want you to see obedience, even what I preached on last week, as a blessing to the Lord. Remember, God has told us that He desires obedience more than sacrifice. God wants us to love Him and be satisfied with loving Him. God is enough for me. We see this in the life of Joseph and Mary. We hear this in Mary when she's told from the angel. But here we see Mary and Joseph blessing the Lord because He has been gracious to them. He has given them a child. Let me show you. First of all, they were so obedient. Look at verse 39 of chapter 2. And when they had performed everything according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee to their own town of Nazareth. Mary and Joseph were obedient. They realized their lives were to be lived to God, for God, through God. They wanted to obey Him. They were young. This could have been difficult, but they wanted to obey Him. Let me show you. In verse 22, look what we see. We see the need for purification and their obedience to go and do it. And when the time came for their purification according to the law of Moses. If you've been around here enough lately, you know the law of Moses is referring to the first five books of the Bible. The law, the Pentateuch that Moses wrote. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. This is written by Moses. Anytime the New Testament tells us of the law of Moses, it's referring to those books. That's what this is. And according to the law of Moses, they were to do certain things for purification. And we're told this. In Leviticus 12, it talks about what happens when a lady is unclean after she gives birth. And if she gives birth to a son or birth to a daughter and she's unclean and what she needs to do. And so that's the whole reason they went there. They went up to Jerusalem so that they could do this. They're wanting to be obedient. They could have just said, well, I'm too tired, or this is too hard, or he's too fussy, or he has colic. I can't do anything. The baby has colic. But they didn't want to do that. They love the Lord and they wanted to be obedient. And so they go up for purification. That's the first way that we see them obeying in every way, as verse 39 says. But secondly, we see them bringing Him to be presented to the Lord, because the Bible says to do that too. Look at the end of verse 22. They brought Him up to Jerusalem to present Him to the Lord, as it is written in the law of the Lord. Every male who first opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. And this is what needs to happen. You remember Hannah doing this with her firstborn Samuel in 1 Samuel chapter 2. When you have your first child and it's a son, he is to be presented to the Lord. So already right here in just 1.5 verses, you see the parents blessing the Lord. Hey, our lives are to be lived for God. God is blessing us. He's given us a child. He's at work in us. The favor of the Lord is upon us. That's what the angel says when he comes to Joseph and Mary. They know that. The Bible says they were righteous people. They were faithful Jews. They're wanting their lives to bless God back. God has done great things for us. All we want to do is overflow back to Him. God loves me. I want to love Him back. That's what we're seeing with Joseph and Mary. They brought and presented Him to the Lord. Exodus chapter 13, again in the law of Moses, is telling them this is what needs to happen. What is quoted right there, every male who first opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, is from Exodus chapter 13. So we see a people who are committed to the Bible. They know the Word of God and they're wanting to do it. Their lives are a blessing because of the way God is to them. That's 2 points. And then the third is they are to offer a sacrifice too. So they're supposed to go there for purification. They're supposed to go there to present their son to the Lord. And they're supposed to go there to offer a sacrifice. They're supposed to do all three of these things. That's a lot and that's tedious. But they do it. Their lives are a blessing to God. Because of God's grace upon them, they want their lives to be a blessing back. They are to offer a sacrifice, it says, according to what is said in the law of the Lord. Again, the law of Moses. A pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. It's interesting what they did. They could have done a pair of turtle doves or they could have done two young pigeons. One of those is to show whether you're poor. One of those is to show if you're wealthy. Joseph and Mary offered up the one that shows that they were poor. You remember me a couple weeks ago talking about Jesus has an attention. His eye and His ear is always bent upon the poor. He cares for the poor. He cares for the lowly. And so should we. We see it even here. Jesus, the King of Kings, the highest there is. There's no one greater than Jesus. He's born to poor parents. So even in their faithful obedience, He comes. They come and offer sacrifice. Their sacrifice is one of poor people. They're obedient. Verse 39 says that they performed everything according to the law of the Lord. And we see them doing that here. They're wanting to. They're wanting to. Do you want to? Do you understand what's required and what should be of the people of God? Do you understand the things that the people of God are supposed to do? You know what the Bible says. You know what's required of you. You know what's expected. And do you find it your joy because God has worked so greatly in your life that you owe it all back to Him? And so you're hoping that your life would just be a blessing back? The list goes on and on. The Bible tells us that we are to meet together. It is a priority for the people of God to meet together and be together. This is what we do. We join together on the first day of the week to worship. There is nothing more important in the life of our church than 10:45 Sunday morning worship. I think you know that. You're here today. Do you want to be here today? Last night, were you excited to be here today? Do you try to live in such a way that everybody else that knows you wants to be here too? Do you want your life to bless God back for all that He does to you? Do you understand that? Joseph and Mary are a beautiful picture of us, beautiful picture to us of blessing the Lord because of His grace at work in their lives. We see them working diligently to three commandments from the Old Testament to obey them with all of the things that we need to be obedient in, things that people of God should be characterized by. Do you want that? Do you want the people in your world to do that? Or there's so many areas in your life that I don't know about and others don't know about that are just very, very inconsistent with the ways of the Lord. Do you bless the Lord because of His graciousness to you? It's only fitting that Mary would be this way. You remember in verse 38 when the angel comes to her and tells her this is going to happen. And she says, well, how can that be? Because I'm a virgin. And he tells her a little bit more. And her answer is of the best. Her answer is, behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. Is that your heart? Does your blessing God flow out of a heart that says, here's who I am. My life is to be a blessing of God. Whatever He wants from me, the ups and the downs, the difficulties. Bless you, God. Bless you. Bless you, God. You know what you're doing. Even as I sent a text this week to some people that I know who got some news, some good news, and I sent them a text and they wrote back, this is good. God knows what He's doing. What an attitude. Similar to Mary's in Luke chapter 1 verse 38. God knows what He's doing. I want Him to be blessed. We see that with Mary. Commentator Bach writes, Jesus' parents are piously following the law by bringing the child before the Lord. What they are wanting to do is to show that they are the people of God, a devout people, a righteous people, and their lives, because they are a righteous people that God is at work in, is to be a picture back, a magnifying back, that God is to be blessed, not us. Their lives were filled with the blessing of God. And so their desire was for God to be blessed. Your lives are filled with the blessing of God. So is your desire for God to be blessed? Secondly, Simeon blesses the Lord. Simeon blesses the Lord. And this is the thrust of the passage. Luke chapter 2, 22 through 38 is mostly all about Simeon. This is the main part going on here. Jesus presented at the temple, takes up all of its focus with Simeon. This is where our passage turns and gets really good. And Simeon also blesses the Lord. We're going to look at verses 25 through 35. Simeon blesses the Lord because God had saved him. And not only had God saved him, but God had allowed him to see the Savior. And God's blessing upon Simeon's life results in Simeon wants God to be blessed. Are you seeing the theme here of Luke chapter 2? God is a God of grace and a God of giving. You can't outgive the giver, you might have heard. And God is continually pouring life and goodness and issue and things into your life that are meant to construct you. You know that the Bible teaches that God is the potter and we are the clay and we are always on the wheel and God is always working in us. And sometimes He has to dent us and sometimes He has to move us and sometimes He has to push us and sometimes He has to hurt us or discipline us. But all the while God is doing that to present in us a beautiful picture, an image of His Son, an image of godliness, an image of somebody who will trust in Him. And God is at work in our lives. And a lot of times we don't understand it. A lot of times it is hard. A lot of times it comes with tears and hurt and heartache. But God loves us. And God knows what He's doing. And He can be trusted. And it is all blessing coming to us from God. When He's doing that, our hearts, if they're in the right place, or to desire for God to be blessed back. It is the epitome of selfishness, of worldliness, of carnality, for you to want to take and never give. You know that in your relationships. You know that in a friendship. You know that at your job. You know that in your families. You know that in your marriages. When somebody's wanting to get, do it for me, do it for me, do it for me, help me, help me, but never desires to give back, something's not right about that. Something's not right about that. The people of God have learned that God is so good to us, and all this is for Him, and our hearts get in the right place. We don't want the attention on us anymore, and our hearts turn to blessing God. Look at verse 25 as we see Simeon blessing the Lord because God saved him and allowed him to see the Savior. Now, there was a man in Jerusalem. So what had happened is Mary and Joseph have taken their son, they've traveled up to Jerusalem, and they're there to do those three things, the purification, the offering sacrifice, and to present him to the Lord. That's what they're going to do. And when they get there, Simeon is there. This man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. The people of Israel are in bondage. They're in bondage in their sin. They're in desperate need of a Savior. They need the consolation. They need the comfort. And Simeon knew that God was sending a Savior. Simeon was one of those believing Jews who knew that redemption was coming. God was going to provide one who would die in their place and have their sins forgiven. Simeon knew this. Simeon was waiting for this. Simeon was looking for this. And keep going. Verse 26, well, the Holy Spirit was upon him, verse 26, and it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ, the Lord's Messiah, the Lord's Savior. So the Holy Spirit had come in some interesting way and had told Simeon, before you even die, you're going to get to see my one. You're going to get to see my child. You're going to get to see my Redeemer. You're going to get to see the Messiah. So Simeon, a righteous and devout man, waiting for redemption to come, waiting for Israel's hope, waiting for our hope to come. Simeon's there in the temple waiting on this. Verse 27. And he came in the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God. This was about God. This was about God to Simeon. He blessed God. Picks him up in his arms and he blessed God and says, verse 29. Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace. According to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. Think about this. The parents are coming. They have no idea who Simeon is. They're coming to the temple, a young couple with a young child, trying to offer back blessing to God because God blesses them so much. And they want God to be worshipped. And they're coming there to present them. And here comes Simeon. And in his own little world, two totally different things are happening. Simeon is old. Simeon is ready to die. Simeon is ready to go and be with the Lord. But the Lord has shown him, through the Holy Spirit, that he would get to see the hope, the child. So the Holy Spirit shows him that when that baby gets here, he knows that this is the one. And he picks up the child. I don't know how he was holding him, but I love to take my little baby who's 2 months old and just hold him like this and look at him and talk to him. And Noah's just gotten to the stage of cooing, and he makes some noises, and that's awesome when he does that. And Val always points out that's such a neat little sound. But you look there and you talk to him, and you can just picture in the temple, centered around the glory of God, Simeon says, Lord, now you're letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. And this devout and righteous man, Simeon, had known before and even now had come to know that God's word can be trusted. According to your word, God, you're letting me see your Savior. According to your word, God, there is a Savior. According to your word, God, I don't have to remain in my sins. I can be saved from them. My eyes have seen your salvation. Notice that Jesus is salvation. John chapter 14. Jesus tells him he's going to heaven to get heaven ready. And I'll be back to get you, disciples, and take you to heaven with me. Y'all know where I'm going. And Thomas says, we don't know where you're going. We don't know how to get there. What is the way? The question is, what is the way? And Jesus' answer is, I am the way. Jesus is salvation. There's salvation in nobody else. There's no other name given under heaven, given among men, whereby we must be saved. Jesus is salvation. And Simeon begins to tell all of this here. It's awesome. What we have here is a hymn. Little hymn, verses 29 through 32, a little hymn that Simeon is saying. It's awesome because Luke, in writing this letter, is adding so much detail. Already in chapters 1 and 2, it's our third hymn. You remember? Look at Luke chapter 1, beginning of verse 46, we have Mary's hymn. After all that's happening with Mary, she's told that she's going to have a child. She's a virgin. Then she's told that her cousin Elizabeth, who's too old to have children, is going to have a child too. She's realizing that God is really at work here, so Mary busts out into song. Mary has a hymn too. It's verses 46 through 55. And in that hymn is where she says, my soul magnifies the Lord. It's the common response of anybody who is aware. This is what I opened up with my opening illustration. That it finally clicks that, wait a second, life is about God. God is doing a work here. God is doing a work in my life. I want Him to be blessed. And Mary blesses God with her hymn. Later on in chapter 1, in verse 67, Zechariah breaks out into hymn. Remember? In the Holy of Holies, he had gone in there. He had been made mute. He could not speak. He comes out. And for 9 months, he's not able to speak. Remember that? And then, finally, when the child is born, they name him John. And Zechariah blesses God. And he breaks out into song. And look what he says at the very beginning of his song, verse 68. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel. This is what life is about. God being blessed. God being lifted up. God being pointed to. God being pointed to. It's awesome. Even just last week as I watched TCU win that bowl game and they won it for the little guys, the quarterback was interviewed after the game. They asked him a question about, do you think this puts y'all on the map now? Are y'all the big team now? And is this going to give y'all the recognition you need? And he says, 1 Peter chapter 5, the Bible says, humble yourself before the Lord. And in due time, He will exalt you. The quarterback, in the midst of being able to get all the attention in the world, realized, I need to be humble. It's about God being blessed. Let me deflect this question upon me and quickly turn it to the Word of God, which is always true, which Simeon says and the quarterback Dalton says from TCU, and points people to a blessing of the Lord. It's awesome that Simeon knew this. We have three hymns already in this, and this one here of Simeon, verse 29 to 32, is our third hymn. Bach writes that the hymn is a joyful response of praise for the fulfillment of God's promise, a pattern that is related to the function of each of the hymns in Luke 1 and 2. Thus, the hymn says that God acts according to His Word. On one level, the hymns are big and beautiful and awesome and full of all this detail. But on another level, the hymns are simple. God, you're God. You're working in me. You're good to me. You've done what you've said you're going to do. Blessed be you, God. Blessed be you. Isn't it neat to think about the irony that's going on in our passage here? Think about what's happening. Joseph and Mary, good little young parents, are trying to bring their first child to be presented at the temple, to be presented to the Lord. So they're going to do that. Listen what the commentator writes. But the basic idea of the verse centers not on the parents, but on a revelation about Messiah that is given in the temple. While Jesus is brought to God for dedication, God testifies to Jesus the Messiah through the prophet. Think about that. The parents bring Him to God. We're going to offer up our kid because that's what we're supposed to do. Here's our firstborn, God. Let's offer Him up to You. Let's present Him to the Lord. But God comes back and says, no, He's the one. He's the Savior. He's the one. He's the one that will redeem the Gentile. It's awesome. It's the first place it's mentioned of redemption for the Gentiles. Lord, now you're letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. God, here is our redemption. Verse 33, Simeon turns and begins to bless the parents. His father and his mother marveled at what was said about him because, again, they weren't fully aware of all that Jesus was. Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel. Yes, he is. You will either fall or rise upon Jesus. If you're here today, I hope that you know that. You are either in him or out of him. You're either saved by him or condemned by him. Jesus is the one who saves. He is the Redeemer. But it keeps going. Verse 35. And a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. Here's the sword that will pierce through Mary. This Savior that is coming. This one that is so great. This Redeemer Jesus that is here, that they're celebrating here. The one that has come that is going to be a blessing to the Lord. It's going to happen through his death. It's not going to be easy, Mary. Jesus is great, and all we've talked about so far is how great he is, the blessing of God. But in Jesus' greatness, in him being God, in his redemption, he died. He died for us. He died because of us. He was killed by us. And as a mother losing a son, it's going to pierce her heart. That's what he's talking about here in verse 35. What we see with Simeon is a blessing the Lord because God had saved him and allowed him to see the Savior. He was ready to die at this point. God had kept his word. The point here is that Jesus is far greater than John the Baptist. You remember there was a little bit of talk about John the Baptist, but then he was out of the picture. It goes on and on and on about Jesus. Jesus is the point of the Bible. Jesus is the point of life. And his parents are learning this more and more and more. Simeon knew it. What we see right here is his parents thinking, well, we're just trying to obey God. We're not exactly sure that our son is the one that needs to be worshipped yet. But Simeon knew it. Simeon was there to worship the Savior, the Redeemer, the one who brings salvation, the one who is salvation. Simeon blessed the Lord because God had saved him and allowed him to see the Savior. Lastly, Anna blesses the Lord. Look at verse 36 through 38. Anna blesses the Lord. And there was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived with her husband 7 years from when she was a virgin, and then as a widow until she was 84. She did not depart from the temple, worshiping with fasting and prayer night and day. And coming at that very hour, she began to give thanks to God and to speak of him to all who were waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. Now at the beginning of this sermon, I mentioned how when we're young, our parents are looking for us to finally click, to finally reach maturity, and finally say, okay, I understand life. When we're humans, we're kind of looking for us to, will we ever realize that God is the point? But yet it's a work of God that makes us realize that. And that's kind of going on here too. Look, Simeon is old, and he realizes. Anna is old, and she realizes. Both of these understand. Mary and Joseph are younger. They are young parents. And they kind of understand, but they don't quite understand yet. And there's something going on here with the older people being the ones who are blessing the Lord outright. And the younger people being the ones who are blessing the Lord with their obedience, but yet lacking a bit of understanding. Notice that it says Simeon was filled with the Holy Spirit, empowered by the Holy Spirit, blessing God through the Holy Spirit, told of this through the Holy Spirit. With Anna, it doesn't say this. But it does call her a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. Anna was empowered by the Holy Spirit, or else she would not be a prophetess. But she was old. Some weird way, she was at the temple all the time. It says that. She didn't leave the temple. She was worshiping there day and night, fasting and praying. And here's how she blesses the Lord. Verse 38. Once she saw the child, once she saw the baby Jesus, coming at that very hour, she began to give thanks to God and to speak of him to all who were waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. Anna knew her need for redemption. She knew the people of Israel's need for redemption. See, God's people were aware that they needed redemption. They needed saving. They needed forgiveness. They needed a work of God. They needed a Messiah. They were longing for it. It's beautiful to see in this passage both Simeon and Anna realizing He had come. Jesus is the fulfillment of all of God's promises. Jesus is the fulfillment. He fulfills the expectations of the saints and the prophets. Simeon is glad when Jesus is here. Anna is glad when Jesus is here. And their response is a blessing toward God. God's done a lot in your lives. Our lives are covered with the blessing of God. From big things to small things, and I think you're familiar with that. I don't think there's anybody in here today who wouldn't be able to stand and talk about all of the goodness that God has done in their lives. A true child of God has a heart that says, not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to Your name be the glory. Let me be like a mirror. Let me be like rubber. Let it bounce off of me, God, and let the blessing go back to You. I don't want to be one who gets. I want to be one who gives. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Do you bless the Lord? Is your life filled with a blessing of the Lord because He's done so much for you? Are you familiar with that? Are you aware of God's goodness all around you? I think so. Please hear the Word of God today and respond with saying, I want God to be blessed. There's an ESPN documentary on this week of Tim Tebow. It just came on. Many of you probably saw it. Been a lot of hoopla around Tim Tebow because he is a committed Christian, a Southern Baptist, who also is very successful at football. I didn't get to see all of it, but I saw some of it. And what I saw only furthered my understanding of his commitment, of his being the real thing. I told somebody this week, he seems too good to be true. He talks of Jesus. He speaks of Jesus. He's humble in everything that he does, it seems. Yet he's good, really good at football and life. We saw one little episode where he visits a kid who had been shot in the head by a gun accidentally and chanced that he could die. And Tim goes to the hospital to visit him. And in the visit on ESPN, on TV, he talks all about Jesus with the kid. He prays to Jesus. He prays in Jesus' name. He speaks of the glory of God working in this kid's life. It's awesome. Tim Tebow is so faithful. The show goes on and it shows him training to be good, training to make it to the NFL. All odds are against him. He's not going to make it to the NFL. Everybody's saying that about him. He's not going to go in the first round. And then he does. Tim Tebow's words in the show are, I don't get this. I don't get all the hoopla around me. I don't understand me being able to make people happy. Who am I? I'm nothing, he says. My life is, I play football. That's it. He realizes his life is to be a blessing back. As the show ended, I found myself really contemplative and thinking about what it must be like for his parents to have poured so much into him and see his life coming back as a blessing toward God. As the show ended, I muted the TV. I grabbed JJ. Certainly this passage and this sermon was on my heart. Val was in the back with Noah. It was just me and JJ there. I was sitting on the carpet and I said JJ on my lap. I said, look me in the eyes, JJ. I said, JJ, life's to be about God. If it's not about God, JJ, we mess up. God's got something to do with you in your life, JJ. I don't know what it is. You might play football, you might not. You might be the water boy that everybody laughs at. He's got a plan. And it only works out, JJ, if you want your life to be about Him. Life is to be a blessing toward God. Is your life a blessing of God? Do you want God to just be blessed because of you? Are you just all about giving? God, fix me, help me, give me this, give me some more money, give me a better job. Or are you a blessing to God? Let's pray together.